because I'm a teacher of God's word. And I take my job seriously. I do. I take my job seriously because I've never lost focus of why I study scripture. You know, the Bible says study to show yourself approved. It has nothing to do with education. That word study has nothing. It's just an old English word that means do your best to genuinely and sincerely handle God's word in your life. That's all it means. Do your best to know his word. And to make sure that you are in a right context, a right understanding of Scripture. And the only way you're going to know that is by the Spirit of God who gives you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. And what I do as a teacher is take those things, those concepts, and share it with you. But I want to let you into a little secret. You don't need me. Because you're mature Christians. I used to hate that. When someone would say, oh, are you a mature Christian? Because when I was younger, you hear the word mature, and you're thinking some old fuddy-duddy. But now, I'm thinking, yeah, we know what we're talking about. We're mature, right? I mean, but mature Christian is someone who is stable in their foundation of understanding of what Scripture is. What is Scripture? You look at the Old Testament, you look at the New Testament, what is Scripture? It's Jesus. When Jesus was walking on the road to Emmaus and he's with these two individuals, Cleopas and his friend, they're walking and they're like, Jesus comes up to him after he raises from the dead. They don't recognize him. The Bible says that they were kept from knowing who he was. So Jesus was, you know, literally the first undercover boss, right? And so he goes and he's talking with them and he says, what's going on, guys? And they're like, don't you know what's going on? They killed the one we thought was the Messiah. He's dead. They killed him. And he starts explaining. And finally, Jesus begins to explain Scripture. He starts with the law of Moses. This is a Hebrew term that means Genesis. He starts with the law of Moses, which is the first five books of the Bible. And he starts with Genesis and says in Genesis, it begins to explain what Scripture said about him. He didn't say, listen, guys, let me explain the story of Israel. Or let me explain what the covenants mean. Or let me explain the customs and the feasts. No, Jesus opened the scripture to Jewish men who knew the Torah, who knew the law. And he said, let me tell you about me. That's the whole purpose of scripture. It's to know Christ, to know what he says, to know who he is. And that's why Jesus is the central theme throughout everything. When Paul did not know who Jesus was, he persecuted and tried to destroy the church because they were heretical. They believed in this false god named Jesus. But when Paul on the road to Damascus experiences Christ for himself and he realizes that he is the Lord, all of a sudden Paul went from someone trying to destroy the church to someone who wanted to build the church. Because who is the church? It's you. It's me. It's them. It's the people of God who acknowledge the word. Jesus. We don't lose sight of that. We keep him as the central focus. Because what happens if you do have a bad teacher? What happens if you do follow people that do not teach God's word? I'll give you an example. In Matthew chapter 27, it says in verse 11, meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, are you the king of the Jews? You notice what Jesus said. You've said so. Jesus never identifies as being Jewish. And I know this is hard to hear because, wait a minute, he grew up in a Jewish society. He grew up in a Jewish home. He grew up in a Jewish culture. Are you the king of the Jews? You've said so, Jesus replied. Jesus never claimed to be Jewish. Matter of fact, Jesus never even claimed to be from earth. He said that I am the Son of Man who's come from heaven. So Jesus said, you said so. And then when he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. And then Pilate asked him, don't you hear the testimony they're bringing against you? But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to their great amazement of the governor. Now, it was the governor's custom at the feast at the festival to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At the time, they had a well-known prisoner who was named Barabbas. And so the crowd had gathered, and Pilate asked them, "Which one do you want me to release, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah?" For he knew it was out of self-interest that they handed Jesus over to him. And while Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent message to him, "Don't have anything to do with this innocent man. I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders, the Jewish men who were responsible for teaching God's word, the Jewish priests, the Jewish elders, persuaded the crowd to ask for Barnabas and to have Jesus executed. "Which one of the two do you want me to release to you?" they asked the governor. "Barnabas," they answered. "What shall I do then with Jesus who is called the Messiah?" Pilate asked. And they all said, "Crucify him." "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." And when Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was started, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood." And he said, "It is your responsibility." And all the people answered, "His blood is on us and our children." I want you to understand why I say Jewish chief priests and Jewish elders, because they were Jewish. This is not a story about Jews versus the Gentiles. It's not a story about the church versus Israel. It is a story about men that were supposed to teach God's word. And instead of teaching who Christ really was, they rejected him. They didn't want to hold to him. And they rejected the truth. Who is the truth? Jesus. "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And they rejected the truth. They rejected the living word. They did not want Jesus to be the Messiah, even though they knew that Deuteronomy said a Messiah is coming. Greater than Moses, a Messiah is coming. But they didn't want to accept Christ. And so what did they do? They went around and they persuaded. They convinced the people that put their trust in them to turn against the one who could save them. That's what they did. These people, these teachers, these ones that were responsible for giving the word of God to all the nations, hid the truth from the people. And then the people said, "Crucify him." But what has he done? Doesn't matter. "But I'm not responsible for this," Pilate says. Doesn't matter. We're responsible. And his blood will be on our hands. Why did they say this? Just a week earlier, the crowd was yelling as Jesus entered, and we would call it Palm Sunday, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." The crowd was praising Jesus riding on the donkey, laying their branches down, honoring him as a great man of God. And 1 week later, because of false teachers who knew the word of God, but because they had an agenda, because they were opposed to Jesus, they convinced the people to turn on the truth, the one who could save them, and they crucified him. They convinced them and persuaded them so much that they were willing to say, "Put his blood on us and our children." Then in Acts chapter 2, later on, Peter is going to address the crowds. What happened was Jesus told them to wait into Jerusalem, wait until the Spirit of God comes. They're in the upper room. The Holy Spirit falls upon them. It's the day of Pentecost. They all began to speak in tongues, and they are experiencing a great revival in the upper room. And people all over, the Jews that came from all over, were witnessing this and they're asking, what is going on? These people are honoring and worshiping God in our own native language. Something amazing has happened. So Peter, you know, Peter, who was a preacher, finds a good opportunity to preach the word of God. And he addresses the crowd. And it says in verse 14, chapter 2, verse 14 of Acts, then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Who's the crowd? He's going to let you know. Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. And he's going to explain what Pentecost is happening. And then later on, again in verse 22, listen, Peter is still addressing certain people. He says, fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man credited by God, but to you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did among you through him, and yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, listen, who's he speaking to? He's speaking to Israelites. He's speaking to Jews. He's speaking to people that lived in Jerusalem. And Peter says, to you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. Peter said, listen, you did it. Why did they do it? Why did they want to crucify Jesus? One week they're praising him, the next week they're not. It was because of teachers. Do you understand why James tells us in James chapter 3 that Not many of you be teachers because you will be held to a higher standard. You will be judged very strictly. Because teaching is important. Teaching can actually destroy people's lives. Teaching can actually take people down a path that will lead to their destruction. To do things that are opposite of what God says. So why in the world would I be a teacher? If I know that if my words, what I say, I'm being held accountable for. Because I have no problem teaching God's word. Why? Because I do not resist Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying I know everything and I have all the doctrinal knowledge that you need and my theology is perfect. It's just, in the words of the late Rush Limbaugh, 99.8% perfect. My theology is not perfect. I know that. I'm learning just as much as you're learning. But I believe in one thing, the central focus of all Scripture, that is Jesus Christ. But it was bad teachers who taught a crowd that worshipped him a week before to now ask for him to be crucified and to even say, put his blood on us. So Peter then addresses this crowd, the people that turned on Jesus because of the chief priests and the elders. And he says to them, you, with the help of wicked men, you put him to death by nailing him to the cross. The people knew that Peter was telling the truth. I did it. I listen to people that I trusted. But something inside of me tells me I was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. I should have stuck to Jesus. I should have stayed with Jesus. And then it says in verse 37, when the people heard this, verse 36, Peter says, therefore all Israel, he's again talking to his Jewish people, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. And when they heard that, they knew that Jesus was the Christ. And it says, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children. Do you understand why Peter is saying this? It is for you and your children and all who are far off, to all whom the Lord our God will call. And with many words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And those who accepted his message were baptized. About 3,000 were added to their number that day. I always thought, Lord Jesus, if you would just give me the ability to speak like Peter, give me an anointing that when I preach to the crowds, 3,000 of them at one time would come to know you. But what was really happening, anointed by the Holy Spirit, Peter was, but what was really happening was all of the people there knew that Jesus was the Messiah, and they knew they crucified him, they knew they killed him, they knew they authorized his death. And because of that, they realized that we missed it. And so they said, what do we do? What do we do? And Peter says, repent. Repent. Become saved. Call upon Jesus. The one that you put on the cross and shed blood, his blood, will now by his blood save you. Repent. This is the promise to you and your children. God forbid I crucified Christ because I was told that he wasn't the Messiah, because I was told by my teachers that he wasn't the one I was supposed to follow. I authorized Pilate to crucify him, and I said I would be responsible, me and my children. Now Peter is saying, listen, you no longer will be under a curse. You no longer will be responsible, not even you or your children, because he's going to free you from that. That's why 3,000 people at one time turned, 3,000 Jews returned back to Jesus, because they knew the truth that all of my teachings of the Torah, all of the things I've heard the priests say, all of the times in the synagogue when I listened over and over again about the customs and the feasts and the traditions, all of them were about one person. His name is Jesus. And he is going to save me and my children. I teach because I want you to know the truth. I teach because I want you to know that God's word is for you. Jesus is for you. When you read through the Old Testament, you find Jesus. Because when he opened the word up to the two men on the road to Emmaus, it was about himself that he taught. These words talk about me, Jesus. You don't know how many times my wife comes in after reading the book of Psalms and some psalm in the chapter, in the book, she'll say, hey, I found Jesus. I found Jesus. I read the Song of Psalms, I can't find Jesus in there. I'm sorry. That's just a love letter between a man and a wife, and let's just leave that one alone. But it's in there to teach us the love for men and women. But Jesus is all throughout the scripture. And it started with the very beginning. In the beginning, God created. That's why John starts off, in the beginning was the Word. And there was nothing that was made without him. Jesus was there at the very beginning, speaking creation into existence. And Jesus was here on the earth telling people about his word. And now, because he rose from the dead and he defeated death and hell, death and the grave, he now is the one we proclaim until he comes again. Because Jesus is all about Jesus. The word is all about Jesus. The word is all about Jesus. Because he is God. And that's why Peter said, listen, don't listen to your false teachers. Don't listen to the ones that are misleading you. Listen to Jesus. And you know what Jesus said? Don't call anyone Father, because you only have one Father and he's in heaven. And don't let anyone call you Rabbi, because you have one teacher and it's him. And he loves us so much that he sent his Holy Spirit to remind us of his words. I've often thought as a kid, I would just follow Jesus much better if I could walk with him like his disciples. Now that I'm mature, I realize that every day he walks with me. Every day he's with me because he is in me. So I encourage you, don't listen to me and believe everything I say. Go back to Scripture. See if it matches up. Find it in Scripture, the truth. Because I want to be a good teacher. And I am not afraid of what I teach. Because I teach Christ and Him crucified. So I encourage you, listen to good teachers. There's many sources out there, many authors, many speakers, many radio shows and television evangelists. They all preach, but if they're not preaching Jesus, then they're not leading you to the truth. So stay centrally focused on Him.